Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 4, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow in Messiah's reign? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 4. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, at the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 29 through verse 51. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 51. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. And when his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, and when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we can read in this afternoon hour again, in thy holy word of truth. But it needs to be applied to our souls, else we shall read it once again in such a careless way, and we shall go on our way, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. We shall go on, even as in the days of Noah, and they knew not, and that flood that took them all away. Lord, who alone is able to give unto us that true watching, as thou dost command it of us, and that it as it is our great responsibility, for which we are accountable unto thee, for the sake of our congregation, that we, as office bearers, may be given to watch, that we may not, in the midst of our flock, be seen as those who are careless on the way to eternity, and then to set such an example before those over whom thou hast made us overseers. What shall it be when we as parents in the midst of our families do go over this world, showing with all our example what is the most important thing, that it is the things of the time, that we are seeking all the vanity that is here below. That our words and that our ways, they are so different. Lord, wilt thou give unto us in our great responsibility that which we need from above, bind it upon our hearts together. But wilt thou look upon each and every one of us, to watch in truth? Lord, who can do it? Thou didst say it to thy disciples, but they fell asleep. What? Could ye now watch with me 1 hour? We cannot watch. Then it is a gift from above to watch. And if thou wilt stop us on our way, then how we shall begin. then, Lord, it shall begin, and it shall not cease. O remember us then, for it is thy work alone that is able to make that change, that we need each and every one of us. And with all our own accountability, we shall only be judged and cast into that eternal perdition, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But if thou wilt come, then it shall become different. Lord, we beseech thee then, one more time, we may gather in this morning hour. It was before thy holy countenance, because it was in thy house of prayer, and it was in a public way. Lord, one more time, then we may gather today in this afternoon hour. Could it please thee then to remember us all together and to bless and sanctify thy own word to the conversion of many, to the awakening of souls, and to the final glory of thy great and thy worthy and thy holy name. Remember young and old. Wilt thou use the labors wherewith we may labor, and now here for 5 years, in the midst of this our flock, could it be, Lord, as a little instrument in thy holy fingers, for the conversion of sinners, and for the edification of thy people, and that it would never be for a savor of death unto death, not for one, Lord. Come then, and remember us in thy mercy. The children, give to them new hearts. The young people, give them to see the sin that is rampant in their own hearts, and that does cleave to all that is sinful in this world. That in the days of their youth they might learn to abhor themselves, and that thou would put a fence and a wall about each and every one of us. That our footsteps might not slip, but that thy word, that it might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, cause our consciences to speak. Cause the desire of our heart to go out unto thee with holy longings, that alone is able to give a godly sorrow and to keep us from all iniquity. Open unto thy children and the preciousness that is in thy holy word from the beginning unto the end, for those who have sinned against God, for the chiefest of the sinners, for those who are black, for those who are wretched, for those who are miserable, for those who are ignorant, for those who are unworthy, for those who are blind, for those who are corrupt, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Then there are blessings, blessings out of thy heavenly store that are proclaimed there, in the pages from Genesis to Revelation. Could it please thee then to make us such a sinner? Lord, so it must come to that place in order for thy word to go open in all its fullness, in the freedom of free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners. That it may be experienced in our midst, that thy dear Son that he may be experienced to be, as was declared by the bride, white and ruddy, altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, make place for him. Make place for him in the knowledge of our misery and our wretchedness, and that there may come also the knowledge by faith of the deliverance of the Son of God. Oh, the entrance again into the Father heart. By the working of thy Holy Spirit, lead thy children from step unto step into the blessed comforts that are contained in thy truth. Oh, help us to lay it out before them. Oh, could it please thee to give us to know of them for our own soul, and that we also may be a blessing in the midst of the flock, that we may be able more and more to speak not only about it, but that we may be enabled to speak out of it, out of the experience of our own life. Lord, remember us then. Look upon us as a consistory. Do help us also in the week to come. And when we hope to meet together once again, give us wisdom, discretion, faithfulness, love, and unity about thy truth. And wilt thou bless the labors in the midst of our flock. Be with all afflicted and sick ones, all that mourn, all those that are old and ailing. Remember our governments of these great nations and the nations of this whole world. Oh, when we do see the great turmoil that this world is coming into in our days more and more, so that it is not only the earth itself that is quaking, but that it is also mankind, and the young people over the length and breadth of the world, then they are rioting in places here and there. O Lord, where shall the end of all this be? O that thou may remember us in thy mercy, and deal not in thy judgments, but give us to see what thy judgments are. Turn us again unto thy word and to thy testimonies, and cause us as a people to seek to come out from among them and to seek a place where we shall be able to escape. Lord, remember us to that end. Also in this afternoon hour, O give thy word free course among young and old, and do for us what we cannot and will not do for ourselves. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 420. 420, stanzas 1 and 4. God shall arise, and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. His haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. 1 and 4 of Psalter 420. congregation, Asaph, in Psalm 75, has written that promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, that he putteth down one, and that he setteth up another. Promotion. Promotion that is much sought out by men in this world. That began already with our first father, who was not satisfied with the place that the Lord had given unto him, but that he sought the place of the Lord himself. And so we have the very epitome of that evil, the very height of that evil, of desiring a higher and a higher place. That is, that we desire the place of God himself. And as it was with Adam, so that is also with us, as we are the children of Adam. But the glory of the Lord that we do not look for. The glory of the Lord we do not seek. But we are robbers of it. And yet God remains the judge. And he putteth down one, and he setteth up another, and he will receive his own glory, because it is the highest end and the purpose of God to receive his own glory. And what kind of glory shall that be? Let us consider, with the help of the Lord, Lord's Day 19, and questions 50, 51, and 52. Lord's Day 19, question 50. Why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Question 51, what profit is this glory of Christ, our head, unto us? Answer, first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Question 52, what comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? Answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head I look for this very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God, and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. As so far our Lord's Day, which speaks about the last two steps of Christ's exaltation first, the sitting at the right hand of God in questions 50 and 51, and second, of his coming to judge the quick and the dead, which is considered in question 52. The last two steps of the exaltation of Christ, first, the sitting at the right hand of God, and second, the coming to judge the quick and the dead. The psalmist congregation did sing that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Of what did he sing? He sang of the creation. He sang of the glory of the creation. And he sang in a special way of the glory of the Creator. That is a great glory. A very great glory. You and I, we are witnesses of the glory of the creation when we may look about us and when we may see his handiwork. And our children, they are even more than we, continually in school, in universities, in colleges, then they may be the witnesses of more and more of God's creation and the glory of this creation. Men can attempt to deny the Creator, but everything that we may see in this world that is to his glory and is declaring that glory. And thus, young people and children, when you will look in school into a microscope, or when you will look into a telescope, and when you will see something of the beauty of creation, then you may ask yourself, to what does this tend in my own heart? Or when you may learn in school of language and how that the Lord has given men that ability to communicate with one another, and not only with one another, but with the Lord himself in creation. Or then we may ask ourselves, to what does this knowledge tend in my own heart? When we may sit in a social studies class, and when we may see something of how that the Lord has made us creatures that may live and that may work together, then do we see something of the glory of the Lord in all of his creation? Then we may sit in a class that is speaking about the psychology, that is speaking about the mind of man, that is speaking about the order of the Lord in all things, physical, mental, all the aspects of our life here below. And then, when we may come to the house of the Lord, and when we may hear something and read out of his holy word, how that the Lord has created man with a soul, then does our heart also go out with the psalmist to say that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth, the firmament, and that showeth his handiwork. That is a great glory. And yet, there is a greater glory. that is a greater glory that will come unto him, because there is nothing that is able to compare with the glory that the Lord will receive by redemption, not by creation, but by redemption. Oh, what a song and what rejoicing can we compare to the rejoicing of the children of Israel when they sang with Miriam on the other side of that sea? And why? Why was that so to the glory of the Lord? It was because of the origin of that people. This is what made their heart go out to God in praises above all the praises that nature can give unto its creator, the place from which they had been delivered. What a day that was, that we read that the sigh and the cry of the children of Israel came up before the Lord. Oh, what a day that was. And when we read that the Lord, he says that he heard this cry. Oh, what a song on the other side of that sea of glory to him, that God, who we read, heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, how low that the Lord had to come to save his people. Where did he have to leave, boys and girls? The Lord Jesus, when he came as a little baby, and when he laid himself even in that manger in Bethlehem, what was the place that he left? And when he was there crying in that manger? No, it is not true. And what we hear sung sometimes, there no crying he makes. No, it was just the opposite, that he did experience the misery that was due to sin, even when he was a little child. But where had he come from? He had come from the great glory and that was with his Father in the highest of the heavens, in the third heavens. And then he came to give himself to that suffering, and he came to give himself even unto death. But what was it for? It was for his own exaltation. Oh, that was the highest purpose of the Lord, that there would be a people and that would sing forever and ever to his glory, and that song of Moses and the Lamb. Oh, thus will that also be our place to all eternity, so to sing. We considered a few weeks ago the beginning of that exaltation. Where was it, children? What was the first step after the suffering, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus? What was now the first step of his exaltation? That is his resurrection. The resurrection from the dead. And now this resurrection is the beginning of a greater glory for the Lord Jesus Christ a greater glory than he ever had from all eternity before his own incarnation. And why? Because how did he arise? He arose as a victor from a battle. He arose as the victor over Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And then we heard more. And then we heard of that second step of his exaltation. And what was that? That was the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And why is that now a greater glory yet? It is because the apostle says the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of man on the earth, but that is a much different and that is a much higher glory that is to be received by the Lord in heaven. And so we have seen the first step. And so we have seen the second step of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. And now today we hear yet of another promotion, if we may say it that way, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another raising, as it were, of his rank. And that is within the celestial itself. That is not only to be in the celestial, but that is to be raised to a great height in the celestial. We read of James and John. They wanted that place in the kingdom of Christ in the world. Yes, even God's own children, all seeking that place that they are not given from the Lord, or to sit on the right and to sit on the left. But what do we read now? This is the place that was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. The third step of the exaltation of Christ. No, that is not literal, because God is a spirit, and in that sense, God, he has no right hand and he has no left hand, but it is a picture for us ignorant people, us carnal people, us vain people. And the Lord, he is so good to stoop to us and to give to us such examples that we could understand just a tiny bit of the glory of the Lord in that place to which he has ascended, to the right hand of God. Thus it has a meaning, and we know that meaning here on earth, and that is the intention of the Lord, and that we may know something of that glory in comparison to how things are here below. The right hand of God, the right hand, that is a place of special favor. That is the place that we read Solomon gave unto his own mother, because it was a place of honor. Benjamin, we read he was the son of Jacob's right hand. But the right hand of God, that is also a place of power, not only of honor and glory, but also a place of power. a place of dominion, a place of government. David speaks about the saving strength of his right hand, the right hand of man that is commonly the strongest hand of man. Thus, when it is spoken that he is sitting on the right hand of power, then it is speaking a bit about the greatness of the strength of Christ in the place which he is given in heaven. And so we read it in God's word that God, he has highly exalted him, and that he has given him a name that is above every name. And why? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The right hand of power, a right hand of honor, a place given to none other, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand, and until I make thine enemies thy footstool. No, O men, and also the angels, they can ascend, but they will not sit in that same place as the Lord Jesus Christ is given. Why is it added and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. What was the glory that Christ had before his incarnation? What was the glory that he had before he came to this earth? That was the glory of the Creator. Let us make man in our image. Thus he was also the Creator of this world. And at that time, then the glory that he received was the glory of the Creator. But now that glory that he did receive in that third step of his humiliation, when he had returned from the terrestrial to the celestial, and when he is given a place at the right hand of power, that is now a glory greater than the glory that he had before. Why? What do we read? Because now he appears as the head of his church. No, he did not appear so when he was in this world, when he was in the state of his humiliation. And then he did appear in this world as a servant. He did not even appear so before he came, because then he did appear as the Creator. But now it is different, because when he returned, then he received what, children? He received a crown. He received a crown. Because he returned as the victor in that battle, and then he was crowned what? He was crowned the head of his church. He is now the head of whom? His redeemed people. He is now the head of that people for whom he has descended. He is now the head of that people for whom he has given his life, even unto death. All for the redeemed. He is the head of those who do sing on the other side of the sea because of the victory because the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea, all forever knowing from what that people have been delivered. Oh, they shall glorify and they shall magnify their head. Oh, there he is. There he is as their representative. Oh, we heard it, that he is appearing before God, even as the advocate of his own people. Oh, there, when he is sitting, as we read next to him, when he is sitting on the right hand of power, oh, then he is speaking, children. Then he is speaking to whom? Then he is speaking to his Father. And who is he speaking about? Oh, he is speaking about his children. Are you one of his children? Are you the children of your father and the mother in this world? We need to become the children of God. And if we may become in our life the children of God, oh, then there is one who is sitting next to God. Oh, it is the Son, it is the Head, and he is speaking to his Father then about his children. And what do we read here? It is by whom his Father governs all things. That means the Father, you know how it was with Joseph. Joseph stood at the head of Egypt, but he gave the government of all that country into the hands of this one man, into the hands of Joseph. Was that not a wonder? Oh, who do you think could touch those that were oppressed in the land of Egypt as long as Joseph was there as that governor? And now when Joseph's brethren and Joseph's father, they came into that land of Goshen, or was there anyone that was able to touch that people? Oh, everything. Joseph was governing in that land, and now so it is. When Christ is sitting in that place as that greater Joseph, when Christ is sitting at that right hand of power, oh, then there is a people for whose sake that he is existing there. And who are the people? That brings us to our next question. What profit is the glory of Christ our head unto us? First, and that by his Holy Spirit he pours out his heavenly grace is upon us, his members. And then, and that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Congregation, how little profit do God's children receive from this blessed truth? And why? Is it not because that they are so earthly minded? What did the Lord Jesus say? If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. How many fears do not live in the hearts of God's children here below? Many fears because they have many enemies. But what have they to fear? Oh, how close that people are to God, because they are in their representative head. Oh, there, though they seem so weak, though they seem so poor, though they seem in this world to be put to the side, oh, they have a representative who is speaking to his own Father about the welfare of that people. And then he has a very special interest just in that people in this world. And now the profit of that is happening every day in heaven, that is being felt and experienced every day on the earth, because our Father, say here, by whom the Father governs all things, all then the administration of everything in this world, that was all in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was always so. Yes, it was always so, as He is God. But now it is so in a very special way, because now it is so as He is the mediator. And now we read that this place that is in a very special way given unto Him, He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the government that is placed by the Father on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he says, all things they work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. And why is that? That everything in this world is working for their good. That is easy. Because their head is sitting in government of this world at the right hand of His Father. And then our instructors speak about two things. By His Holy Spirit, He pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members. Heavenly graces that are experienced where? Here on the earth. Thus, something of heaven that is known upon the earth every day, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Heavenly graces. Oh, do we desire not only the blessings of this world, but do we desire, congregation, heavenly graces? Oh, what is a heavenly grace? Can you tell me something, children? What would you say is a heavenly grace? Oh, life. Life. Life is a heavenly grace. Natural life. But now especially spiritual life. And where does it come from? It comes from that right hand of power. And that is being given to men here upon this world. Heavenly graces. Oh, were you ever given life? As a heavenly grace, love, love. Love to God, not love for the world. It is a heavenly grace. Do you not feel it so? That you say, I cannot give it to myself. That you say, there is one of God's people. What is now living in her heart? What is now living in his heart? Oh, if only, are you jealous too sometimes? If only I could give myself now that love, that I may lose the love of this world, which when I am honest, that is living in the deepest recesses of my heart. Oh, if I could only have now that love. Oh, it is a heavenly grace. Lowliness, humility, confession. The confession of sin. Oh, to bow before the Lord. Oh, to be emptied. That is a heavenly grace. Do you believe it, young people? To be emptied, because our world The religious world, they want just the opposite. Why? Because that's in our heart. Oh, then we want to grow. But it is not the way of the Lord. A heavenly grace that is to be brought in the dust before the Lord. Oh, heavenly graces, that is, when the Lord may open His Word. Or when we may be made, we try to say it a little this morning, when the Lord may make to us into a sinner. A sinner. Oh, congregation, if that could only be. If it could only be. Do you know it will come open to you? The whole Bible. The whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelations. Oh, if we could only be brought in that place. Because there is so much. There is every promise for that people. There is every comfort. There is every consolation. Oh, a heavenly grace. That my name may be as that publican. Then He said, God, be merciful to me, the publican. The right children? Yes. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. They were one and the same. Oh, and when we may be brought there, oh, by a heavenly grace, and then the Lord may open something of the heavenly graces that are to be experienced in His only begotten Son for those who have departed from Him and those who are unable to return to Him. Unable, young people, remember it, unable. Because we are unwilling, yes, but we cannot change our will. That is the problem. We cannot change our will. And it is our own responsibility that we are unwilling. And what does a man need? If he is unwilling only, oh, then he only needs to change his will. And if we can only change your will, then you can help yourself. But now for the people who are unwilling, but at the same time, that cannot agree with Arminius, and have to say, or also unable, what do that people need? They need a Savior. They need a Savior. Oh, do you see it? Then he receives the glory or a heavenly grace. When for that people that are so blind, they cannot open their eyes, so deaf, they cannot open their ears, so lame, they cannot walk, so dead that they cannot give themselves life. But now that Savior, all to come and to, from His place, where He is sitting on that right hand of power, all to speak one word and to give me life from dead. Oh, what a heavenly grace. Then we shall glorify, we shall magnify His name forever and forever. No, not only as the Creator, also the Creator, but also as the Redeemer, knowing that death from which we have been delivered. Oh, then shall that song of that people not be a pitch higher than the song of the angels that can only sing of their Creator, by His power, pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members. By His power, He defends and preserves us against all enemies. Oh, Christ has enemies. That people, they also have enemies. Paul says, we're made as the filth of the world, and the offscouring of all things unto this day. They are enemies in the world. The persecution of that church, when the people are faithful, when they are faithful, oh, than their life that is a testimony against the world. We need to say nothing with our mouth, but when our life will testify against this world, the world will hate us. But when we do not want to be faithful because we want the love of the world, oh, then we shall not be involved in the persecution in the midst of this world, but also within the church. Because the Bible that says that a man's enemies, they shall be they of his own household. And then the peninnas, or mocking at home, at the hennas who have no fruit from themselves, and for whom it is so impossible to bring forth that fruit in any kind of a natural way, and that needed a supernatural power to bring it forth unto God, mocked in our day, not only congregation outside of us, but sadly, all mocked even within our own denomination. All we say enemies. Christ has enemies. That church that has enemies. And how many times do that people not fear their enemies? But why do they fear? Oh, they fear because they are so earthly minded. So earthly minded. And so backward to heed the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ to heavenly mindedness, because the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against that people. And why not? Because the government that is upon the head, on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan does not reign. No. Though it seems like it in this world, so often, Satan does not reign. Oh, he that sitteth in the heavens, he shall laugh, and he shall have every one of the enemies of that people in derision. That people shall see it one day. Let us sing first. 193:1-4. O God, to thy anointed king, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge, and give the poor redress. 1-4 of 193. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? Answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. That is the last step of Christ's exaltation, his coming again to judge the quick and the dead. What is it? It is the public glorification of Christ that will be, we read in God's word, before the whole world. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, also they that pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth. They shall wail because of him. Oh, how fearful the consideration of the great judgment of Christ. When men shall call to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. But congregation, what is the language of our instructors? What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? What comfort? How is that possible? Well, Paul, he says that rulers, they are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou, he says, then not be afraid of the power? Do you not want to be afraid of the power? Do you not want to be afraid of the ruler? Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. And thou shalt have praise of the same. Then the power will not judge you as a wicked person, but he shall praise you. So that is simple. Our children know that when we are without guilt, when we have not done wrong, then there is nothing to be afraid of to come into judgment. It is the opposite. Then we seek the judge, the one who is innocent. Then he is seeking the judge, that he may be relieved in a righteous sentence of the judge from his oppressors. But congregation, that may be in this world. How shall we appear before the great judge? Because it may be in a particular matter that we are not guilty. But what are we reading God's word? Solomon, he says, there is not a man that sinneth not. Thus, how is it possible that our fathers, they speak about the last judgment and they ask about comfort in that last judgment? What comfort is this to thee? Thus, though all men have sinned, and there is not a man that sinneth not, there is also a people that may receive comfort in the consideration of the judgment. Who are they? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake as judge from heaven. Oh, there shall be safety for every one of the true church. Not one of them shall be condemned by that judge. Where is their safety? Oh, it is in him who has offered himself for the people. It is the atonement. And when that atonement is made, oh, then the guilt is taken away. How is that now for a person? It is as if they had never sinned. Not in thought, word, or deed. Not a sin of omission. Not a sin of commission. Everything. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And when there is now no guilt, no guilt, then that people cannot be condemned by a righteous judge. Safe. Safe. But because we are safe, that does not mean we are yet comfortable. Those are two different things. Thus, there is a people that are safe, but are still fearful. Why? Because they do not yet know that they are forgiven. Because they do not yet have the assurance that all their sin is taken away. Oh, what a motive. What a motive for that people to spur them on, that they may seek now this knowledge, that there may be rest, that there may be peace in the consideration of that last judgment. Even Balaam, he says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Why, O Abel, to stand before a holy and a righteous God. What a deathbed. That such a people may be privileged to have. Oh, we knew a man years ago, so afraid so often to die, one of God's dear children, and fearing death his life long. And then, lying on his deathbed, and the Lord gave him such an entrance that these were the words he said. He said, is this dying? Is this dying? Or has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape that dismal grave, all its ruinous power, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. O Christ, he is reigning as king over the whole universe, and yet full justice is not yet done in this world. Wherefore, Jeremiah says, do the wicked prosper. Naboth is stoned. Ahab takes over his vineyard. Asaph envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Until he came into that sanctuary of God. And what did the Lord show to him? Then understood I their end. Their end. The judgment. Oh, that judgment that is awaited by the righteous with an
uplifted head when his and their enemies will be cast into an everlasting condemnation. Oh, Stephen prayed for his enemies. He prayed for his enemies when they were stoning him to death. But congregation, that shall not be anymore. No, in that judgment of the Lord, then he is going to agree with the Lord in the condemnation of the wicked. Solemn thought, because then there will also be an agreement. There will be an agreement even by God's children in that day concerning the casting away of their own loved ones, a dear husband, a dear wife, dear children, a dear father, and a dear mother. Oh, indeed, awful deeds, but so just and mighty, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. And then it will become manifest that the love of God that is higher than the love of father and of mother, of son and of daughter, of brother and of sister. What did Christ say? He said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Whosoever will do the will of my father, the same is my sister and my brother and my mother. And but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory." Congregation, oh, did we ever learn to die? Before did we have to die? Did we ever learn by the grace of God to stand in that judgment of God? Or will it now be the first time? First time when we are standing before the throne of God, when we have to leave this world. Oh, the Lord bind it upon our hearts that we may seek the Lord, that we may seek the Lord while he may be found, that we may call upon him while he is yet near. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. Give life, O Lord, that heavenly grace, as thou sittest at the right hand of thy Father, and for the interest of thy people. O give a holy desire to be born in our hearts this day, that we may become also the object of that blessed love, of that blessed care, of that blessed redemption, and that thou hast made for thy people, that we may begin to seek thee while thou art still to be found, and to be found of thee while thou art still near. Remember us as we depart from this place. Give us solemn thoughts of death and eternity. And give us solemn thoughts of the seriousness of our life. And cause us to yearn and to hunger, to return unto our Maker, and to be reconciled unto a triune God. Help us in the labors of our hands in the week to come, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 139 stanzas 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him, about him storms shall sweep.
3 through 6 of 139.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.